Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, good afternoon. I'm so happy you're here. It's Thursday. Normally, Shattuck would be here, Tom Shattuck. He had a business event come up that caught him at the last minute. He had to go to a meeting, so he's not here today. But he will return next week, have no fear. I want to talk about equity, this new word, this new supercharged word that the left uses all the time and thus the media uses all the time now. The measure of everything now is equity. The measure of everything is equity. Does it provide equity? Everything must provide equity. And I thought this word needs some definition. Because if the Democrats are going to say it all the time, and thus automatically the media is going to repeat it like it has a meaning to us, we should figure out what they mean by it. Because no one's defined it. They just start talking about it. Equity, equity, equity. So I've been thinking on equity. And I've been thinking on Democrats, and I've been thinking on compassion, trying to figure it out. Trying to figure out exactly what they're up to, because what they do is they use words as foils. They use words as cover story to create the impression that they care about something that in actual policy, that is, in fact, they don't care about at all. For example, when it comes to education, you know how they talk about integration. You can't learn properly if you're not in a desegregated classroom. Why is that? I don't know. Nobody's ever defined it. It's just a value that Democrats invented, a measure of whether educational equity is being achieved. We have learned through the years, they tell us, they have told us through the years, that we need to accept this as a fact, that people can't learn, kids can't learn in a classroom unless it's a desegregated classroom with multi-races in there. So then they fight for desegregated classrooms. They get court rulings issued that require desegregated schools. They appropriate budgets, billions of dollars, to build schools that will be desegregated to meet the requirements of the court orders. And why? Well, they do it in service of the word, in service of the fake concept, the cover story. Desegregation. We must have desegregated classrooms. And if you are fighting, it would follow, for desegregated classrooms, you are doing everything that can be done to provide an equal educational opportunity to kids of all races. That's the scam. That's the scam. So then you can continue having bad schools for as long as you want. As long as you're fighting for desegregation. That's a little backstory on equity. So desegregation, phony ideal. If you want minority kids, poor kids, to have a great education, change the system in such a way that great schools are generated. How would one do that, do you think? Well, in virtually every other aspect of American life, We know that the way to make something good happen is to create a market where consumers get to shop for their favorite thing. We don't do that with schools, though. Why not? We don't do it with schools. Why not? Why don't we have schools in a market? Well, because the rigged system works so well. Create a special interest group, an independent special interest group. Require by law that teachers pay a piece of their salary to that special interest group, and then that special interest group donates to the party in power. Why would you have a competitive atmosphere when you can have a rigged atmosphere in which you get a kickback? So how do you avoid then having people understand that their kids have to go to schools that are inadequate because you want to sell off decision-making over power over education policy to a third-party special interest group known as a union? How do you get away with that? You run around and you talk about desegregation. You can't have good schools without desegregation. We've got to desegregate. Let's file a lawsuit. Let's get a court ruling. Let's pack the courts with judges who will rule in favor of these ridiculous lawsuits. And then let's spend billions of dollars requiring that schools desegregate. And then after schools don't improve, we say we just need more money. We're not funding education enough, even though we've put dramatically more money into education. This is the way they play it. They play word games. They play games of deflection. They take your eye off the ball. They are magicians, these politicians. Okay, so equity. Equity is the new desegregation. Equity is the new word that doesn't mean anything, and thus it means everything. Whatever you want it to mean. Democrats don't fix problems. They can't fix the problems, especially the ones they've created, because they've created those problems in order to satisfy a special interest group whose votes they want. To fix the problem of bad schools, you can't get rid of the unions. The unions are how Democrats win elections. You create desegregation as the ideal, and then you can chase desegregation forever. You can get all the court rulings you want. You can spend all the billions you want. And the schools will never change because, of course, it has nothing to do with desegregation. It has to do with unions. Don't fix the unions. Fix the desegregation. That's the game. Okay, equity. Back to equity. Listen to Jolly Ned talking about equity Monday.
We reinforce our particular emphasis and make sure that no disadvantaged, underserved community is left behind.
Ned, who as the governor of the state of Connecticut and a Democrat, oversees leaving underserved communities behind because Democrats run the underserved communities. When they call them underserved communities, they are insulting themselves. They are saying to you, Hartford, you are an underserved community, even though you've got a Democratic mayor, you're controlled by all Democratic politicians, and the state's controlled by Democrats. How can Hartford be an underserved community when it's being served by Democrats completely? Can somebody explain that? 860-522-9842. Back to the Jolly One.
We reinforce our particular emphasis and make sure that no disadvantaged, underserved community is left behind. And these are communities that have suffered the hardest over the course of COVID, and some of the communities that it's not as easy for them to get vaccinated.
So Ned, who oversees the political machinery of the state government and is of the same party as Mayor Bronin in Hartford, and they all oversee the underserved communities still, even though COVID just happened, it's a new thing. They got to respond the way they wanted. And what's the result? Hartford is an underserved community, underserved by the servers who are the Democrats. The Democrats are the servers, and their tables are underserved. How can that be? They are oozing compassion and love and support and money. And yet they underserve you. How does that happen? I love this stuff. The games they play, picking them apart. They are grifters. They are con men. They are two-bit hustlers who don't mean a word they say. 860-522-9842. Quick break. We'll continue on WTIC. WTIC. 860-522-9842. No Tom Shattuck this week. He'll return next week. Rant line number 860-751-4698. 4698. 751-4698. Call early and often. Yeah, so I'm doing a little equity rant because equity is something we need to learn about because it's the new trick word for the Democratic Party. And we'll get into that more in just a moment. Let's talk to David in Weathersfield. Hi, David.
Yes, hello.
Thank you, sir.
Hi. So I'm just calling to respond to your comment regarding, you know, we're in a Democratic state. We have Democrats that are running these cities and towns, and yet they are able to speak to the fact that their communities are underserved and continue to be reelected. And for me, this is one of the biggest myths that has been in storylines that has been able to be perpetuated for decades in Democrat-run areas where Republicans are the party of the rich and they don't serve the working class, and the Democrats are here to help the working class and those that are underprivileged. And it's the exact opposite. That the Democrats get away with this because they, in fact, need an underclass that has needs and is underserved, because then they can promise them through taxation of the rich and you getting your fair share, which never happens, never comes.
Yes. This is the trick. This is, David, I just have to highlight this. You've identified the best trick of politics. There is nothing more effective politically than to convince a group of people that you're going to provide them with something that nobody else will provide them. Only you will do it. And that leads to a situation that we have right now where there are underserved communities in Democrat-controlled areas who face violence from their own police departments, who they pay to serve and protect them, and protest movements develop in those cities called Black Lives Matter, and they protest on the streets of the Democratic-controlled city against the police department controlled by the Democrat-supported union. And there, nobody seems to notice that what they're protesting is the leadership of the Democrats, and Democrats take no blame for this. It's unbelievable.
They just pass the blame on to the unfairness that some people are making more money than they are, than their constituents are, and that's their fault. But we're gonna be here for their own, and it never happens. It just means it's more tax and spend, and that money doesn't go to anybody but the Democrats.
Yes, it's all a joke, and it requires people being so indoctrinated into a narrative that of Democrats love us and Republicans want to hurt us, when that people can't see. Yeah, exactly. David, I'm so glad I have a soulmate. Thank you, sir.
You were speaking my language, and you said, I forgot that you listed three or four things. This is the greatest grift. They are the greatest con men. And you went on and on. I'm like, this is exactly what's going on. And they're just perpetuating a storyline that has no truth to it. It's a shame.
Totally fraudulent. Yeah. And the proof of it, by the way, is, thank you, David, for the call. The proof of it is, of course, in people like Andrew Cuomo, who cares so deeply for issues of equity, who believes all women should speak freely. It's so funny. Jimmy, Portland, hi.
I'm pretty happy that the Democrats will help people in need, because those same people will come into the nice neighborhoods that you live in and take what you got. Thank you, Todd Almighty.
Love Jimmy. Love Jimmy. So, yeah, Andrew Cuomo. Little Andrew Cuomo. Compassion crowd.
Buy it.
Governor Cuomo breaks his silence about sexual harassment allegations.
He's breaking
I now
his
understand
silence.
That I acted in a way that made people feel uncomfortable.
He never knew that those 25-year-olds that this 63-year-old was chasing were made uncomfortable by his chase. It never occurred to him, the former attorney general of the state and for 10 years the governor. He didn't understand. I never knew.
That I acted in a way that made people feel uncomfortable.
He never knew.
It was
knew.
Unintentional.
Nobody
and I
told
truly
him.
And deeply apologize
for it. He believes
for
in love and
I
equity.
Feel awful
he feels
about it.
Stephen, probably.
And frankly, I am embarrassed.
Embarrassed, of course, humiliated. It just never occurred to him. How would he know that a girl younger than his own child would be made to feel uncomfortable by his sexual advances? Oh, he had no idea. He's from the party of love and compassion. How would he know about such a thing? He didn't know that men do things like this. He just knows his pure, innocent feelings. We're going to pause for news. We'll take some phone calls. Coming up on WTIC. They are just filled oozing. They're oozing with compassion. That's why they're always grabbing onto people and kissing them, whether it's wanted or not. They just feel so much love. It's uncontrollable. They are filled with so much love. They can't contain it. Andrew Cuomo even invoked his father's memory and said his father used to do the same thing. I kid you not. He said he's just like his dad. He's very affectionate. He's so compassionate. He didn't even want to separate his press conference where he made his confession yesterday from the COVID one. He sandwiched it right in the middle just to make sure everybody knew that he wouldn't want to hide behind his position as governor while he's talking about how badly he feels that people misinterpreted his overtures. They're just filled with equity. 860-522-9842. Bill calling from Granby. Bill.
Hey, John. How are you?
I'm ready. Go ahead.
Wanted to talk to you. I'm another soulmate with you and the previous caller. I wanted to.
Thank you, sir.
I just wanted to say that it's so disheartening. I love the way that you break this down every day and you keep hammering on the obvious vote buying scheme. But what's most disheartening to me is that the beneficiaries of that scheme, the state workers, the municipal workers, the teachers, and everybody that's in the public sector. When you look at demographics and you add up the number of Connecticut residents that are in the public sector benefiting or the underserved that benefit from the social welfare programs, and you add those parties together, it doesn't look like it can ever be defeated because it's a majority of Connecticut residents, and that's what's so
different. Don't be like that. Don't be defeatist. Bob Stefanowski came within inches of winning the governorship a couple of years ago, and if it hadn't been for certain environmental factors like Donald Trump creating this sort of negative aura around anybody being Republican and activating Democrats to hyper-perform at the polls, he would have won easily.
Well, to me, that's another would have, could have, should have. I'm glad that
you're right, but at least we're within striking distance of winning despite all the rigging that the Democrats do. Look at it the other way around. Despite all of the contrived manipulations, the duplicity and anti-American behavior that the Democratic Party commits to and engages in on a regular basis, Republicans are still in the game. So it's a game of inches right now. So you're right. I'm making an excuse for why we lost 2 years ago, but we lost by inches. We didn't lose by 100 miles. You're not telling me, look at that election 2 years ago. We lost by 100 miles. We didn't have a chance. And why are you so dumb you think we could have a chance, Todd? You're not saying that. You're saying, look at that election. We just barely lost, and we'll never lose again. I don't get how those two thoughts go together. We'll never win again, sorry.
Well, I don't know that we'll never win again. I'm just disheartened because the way that election was lost, it calls into question certain things that make you wonder whether or not, you know, okay, we lost by inches. Well, was that by design or was that by, you know, are we ever going to be able to win?
Look, the Democrats have worked hard for a long time to con certain groups of people into thinking that they're looking out for their best interest. I don't believe those people are static. I don't believe that they forever will be fooled and will accept the status quo. We've seen that with protests against police violence. We've seen it with our own eyes that those groups will rise up. They are now demanding that they be the people who represent them rather than old white men, to use their terminology. So right. We know that change happens. And by the way, Hispanic voters in Texas voted in large numbers for Donald Trump. Hispanics in Florida voted in large numbers for Donald Trump, larger than usual. So there are signs on the horizon that these groups are not a unified block that will do the same thing forever.
I don't see it in the Democratic environment. Like, I look at Kimberly Klasick and I say to myself, who's done more for Baltimore and who could have done more for the people of Baltimore and served those individuals best? And they rejected her and they rehired the same Democrat that has been a failure there for as long as he's been in office.
Yes, but Kimberly Klasick, this was a woman, maybe you saw this ad. She ran these very striking commercials of her marching around the burned out ghettos of Baltimore, the rotting streets. And she was in high heels and a red dress, and they were just spectacular, black woman. And she lost, but she knew she was not likely to win. It was a highly Democratic district, and it was an experiment to see how far she could get as a black Republican making the pitch she made. So you've got to look at these things as part of a larger picture. She didn't really have a chance to win that unless lightning struck, and she was trying to make lightning strike. So don't be disheartened by things like that. Be informed by them. Look at them and say, what does this tell us and what strategies need to happen? But the interesting thing about what Kim Klasick did in Baltimore is that she was a Republican black woman running in a Democrat district. This is a huge opportunity that she represented because she was a Republican making arguments to Democratic minority voters. And I forget what the numbers were and how many black voters she was able to swing to her side, how many minority voters, how many urban Democrats voted for this black woman. But the gist of all this is that Republicans will start fighting for these votes, which they've never done. And they will start. This is low-hanging fruit. It is, Bill, because they've never asked even for the vote before. You have to assume that if 90% of black voters are voting for Democrats, that if Republicans just go in and ask and point a finger and say, look at that school. Do you think that's appropriate? Do you think that's what your kids deserve? You're going to get people rising up and saying, hell no, we deserve better. And all the Republican has to do is say, that's right. Why are you accepting this?
Well, I think that's all true, but I really, to be encouraged, I need to see having a greater percentage of the vote still losing just doesn't really hurt me much.
Republicans will start to go into Democratic areas like Kim Klasick did in Baltimore, and they will make pitches for votes, and they will start to swing voters because Democrats have gotten away with murder for decades. And it just can't go on anymore because Republicans can't keep ignoring big chunks of the community. They will go in there and they will make pitches. That's how politics works. Jerry next in Plantsville. Thank you so much for the call.
All right.
Hi, Jerry.
Scott, how you doing? I just want to make a short comment about the wonderful governor of New York. I think that his Emmy award was a little premature. I think he might be up for the Academy Award for his apology.
They are always performing.
It brought a tear to my eye to see him whimpering like that. And
wasn't that something?
I I mean, it's almost like on cue. He can just bring out the emotion. That absolutely means nothing to him.
No, it doesn't. I mean, it's about power. Everything they do is about power. If they have to cry for power, they'll cry for power. If they have to lie for power, they'll lie for power. Anything else, Jerry?
No, I just wanted to, I just think he really should be up for the Academy Awards this year, and I'd like to see Ricky Gervais present it to him.
That'd be fun. That would, Jerry, I like your imagination. Thank you, sir, for the call. 860-522-9842. Steve calling from Massachusetts. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Todd. We've created our own dungeon, so to speak, because we like what the politicians are cooking. We say we're against the liberals, but whose responsibility is it to teach our kids not to take the bait? And we haven't done a good job of teaching our kids because we give our kids over to the liberals to teach to take the bait. I mean,
all this is
our blame and our fault. We're pointing the finger at the wrong thing. We've got to change our thinking, not change the liberals' thinking.
I think you're right. But the elections are right there, ready to be won. And it's not a lot of, well, it's a little tougher in Massachusetts than it is in Connecticut. But there is not a lot of distance that needs to be crossed over. Republicans have to start making arguments like the ones I'm making, pointing out the obvious, that the ones who are crying out for equity are in charge of equity. The ones who say that Hartford is an underserved community are the ones who run Hartford. At some point, that cognitive dissonance has to break out into the world of the obvious, doesn't it?
Well, if we're going to sit and listen to what they're saying and then try to debate it, you can't debate with fools, first of all. And we have to be smart enough, and I don't think society is as a whole, because we've been being fooled since the beginning of time.
Well, in that case, Republicans have to get better at fooling people. They have to get as manipulative and deceitful as Democrats are. Thank you, Steve, for the call. Good to hear from you. 860-522-9842. Can't we do that? Lie and cheat as well as they do? Don, East Hartford, hi.
Hey, Todd, what's going on, man? Listen.
Nice to hear from you.
I'm driving and I'm listening to the conversation. Listen, why are you not talking about the reasons why the minority community don't support Republicans? Because they have this racist element that's within their party. No minority is going to support that party when they have strong racist elements in their party and they won't denounce it. And they're anti-immigrant, too. And they won't do anything about that. Why don't you talk about that?
Well, I don't see where that's so compelling, given that the Democrats are the party of racism. They run the structural racism
in
America.
No.
Wait a sec. When did George Floyd get killed by the police?
Police been killing minorities long before that. From ever since I came to this country.
Well, but Don, but you said it's the past. I'm telling you it's the present.
No, you
and
said
those policies
were the racist party, and I said that was in the past. I'm not saying they're not.
Yes, and that's why I brought up. Wait a sec, Don. George Floyd is in the present. George Floyd happened inside of the last year. George Floyd's killer was there on the police department because this is how Democrats run police departments. Their unions control them, just like they control the schools.
That's not fair.
They don't allow bad cops to be fired, just like they don't allow bad teachers to be fired.
Why didn't Donald Trump do something about it? Why didn't Donald Trump clean out? Why didn't Donald do anything about it? Why didn't George Bush Jr. do anything about it?
I don't know. Democrats are in charge. Why didn't they do something about it?
That's what I'm saying. It's
tell me, Don, what Democrats have done about the systemic racism in the communities they control.
I agree, and it's our fault for not demanding that they do their job and give us what's due to us. Because we always vote them in, like you Republicans like to say. It's the minorities who are always putting these Democrats in power. I agree, and we don't get anything in return. I agree with that. But that's not the argument. The argument, if we want to get over to the Republican side, which I think we should, they have to start getting rid of those racist elements and start being anti-immigrant.
That's a valid argument. If you want to start pressuring Republicans to change their immigration policy, that's fine. Go ahead. But Republicans aren't doing anything to make trouble for Democratic voters, minority voters in Democrat-controlled areas. And that's the real problem, is Republicans haven't gone in there and campaigned. And on that level, I agree with you. They need to enter the fray, and they need to make the arguments. But to say that, yes, the Democrats are guilty of all the things Todd accuses them of, but what about those racist Republicans? Well, you're just deflecting your own energies and attention away from what you've just identified as being the problem. The problem is the underserved communities are served by the Democratic Party. 860-522-9842. Thank you, Don. Always good to hear from you. The rant line number, 751-4698. More coming up on WTIC. Oh, I forgot. I was so excited about continuing this conversation into the next hour, but Jolly Ned's going to be here for his Jolly COVID press conference coming up after news. I don't have time to take a phone call right now. I apologize to those who are on hold. Use the rant line. It's right there anytime. Even while Ned's talking, you can do it. 860-751-4698. 860-751-4698. We'll play those rants during the 5 o'clock hour. After the Ned Lamont press conference, we'll be all up to date on COVID. And then we'll get up to date on rants. So stay with us. A lot of good stuff coming on WTIC.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.